Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Years ago, there was a book called What to Expect When You're Expecting. And it had to do with pregnancy. It had to do with, there were things in there about weight gain and body shape changing and attitudes and crankiness, and that was just about the dad. It talked about the mom as well. But that's what Advent means. Advent has to do with expecting. That's what, it's the anticipation or the expecting the Messiah. We know Jesus has come. But I want to talk about peace. And Victoria already said about the peace that Jesus gives to us. Peace I give to you, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. And I don't know what happens when you hear the word peace, what you think about. If you think about one of the Psalms where it talks about as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs for you, and there's this peaceful, tranquil moment. I don't know if peace for you looks like the kids not fighting, or peace looks like the adults not fighting. I don't know if peace is a place where you think about sitting on a bench in a park, or you're able to somehow, some way get to an ocean and just a peaceful moment. I don't know if peace, when you think of peace, you think of a time, a different time in my life when I didn't have the responsibilities that I have, the demands that this season, maybe it was a childhood summer, there was peace. Maybe when you think of peace, people will talk about meditation, trying to get in touch with their peaceful inner self. We used to have a secretary at the church when I was a youth pastor. Her name was Sheila, and I remember talking to her about peace, and she said, I don't have a peaceful inner self. That's why I need Jesus. And just that need of Christ. I don't know, for some people, sometimes it seems like peace, it'll be the only time that we get peace is when we die. Rest in peace. For some of us, maybe when we think about peace, because we've just come through Remembrance Day, we think that there's a cost to peace. Parabellum, if you want peace, prepare for war. There's a sacrifice to peace. Peace comes at a cost. Sam Colt designed the single action army revolver. It took a 45 caliber bullet. Butch Cassidy carried it. Wyatt Earp carried it. He may have used it at the gunfight at the OK Corral. Many neighbors used that 45 caliber gun to protect their property. You know what it was called? Peacemaker. It was the peacemaker. And I doubt very much that Jesus was referring to that when he said, blessed are the peacemakers. We know that true peace comes from God. One of the things that happens when God comes into our life is if we allow him, he brings peace. One of the things is we would look at our lives as an evidence of God's spirit within us. There's two very distinct differences. There's an evidence and there's an empowerment or an enablement. The evidence is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The empowerment has to do with the gifts of the Spirit that are found in Scripture, the nine gifts. But when we talk about the evidence of God's Spirit, it's not whether we can speak in tongues or not. That is enablement. That is an empowerment. But the evidence, the fruit of God's Spirit in our life, love, joy, peace. There's an announcement that the shepherds heard from the angels when they appeared to them, and they said, glory to God in the highest. And that's marvelous. We look way up to the heavens, glory to God in the highest. But right here on this soil, right here in this place, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and whose favor God's favor rests upon. Jesus is able to bring peace in the stormiest of situations just by announcing it, peace be still. Storms cease, waters and waves calm. And the storm that we find ourselves in so many times does not need to be the storm within in us. We can be in the storm, but the storm isn't in us. There is a peace, and Scripture talks about a peace that doesn't make sense. We can't wrap our heads around it. It doesn't make sense. It's called a peace that passes understanding. It, in fact, it means surpasses. It goes beyond understanding. There is a peace available to us. Now, I want to talk to you this morning for the next few minutes about peace. About a verse that mentions peace three times, except the English translators didn't translate it peace. Doesn't show up peace. In the original Hebrew language, it's translated in the Old Testament, let's see, 236 times, 184 times it's translated peace. So 78% of the time we find it in the Old Testament, it's translated peace. More often than not, over and over and over again, it's translated peace. It has a broader meaning than peace, than the English word. It can mean tranquility, and it can mean a ceasefire, that there's no war. But the reason why I want to talk to you about this word peace in Hebrew is not because I think necessarily you're going to start speaking Hebrew, especially with just one word. But it may be a word that you already know. And the word is this, shalom. Shalom. It is translated so frequently, shalom. If you've been around Jewish people, if you've seen Jewish documentaries or films or anything, often you will hear someone say shalom at a greeting. And they'll say their name, they say shalom Leslie. They'll say, shalom, Claudia. Now, on the Sabbath, as the Sabbath is approaching, or on the Sabbath, they would say, Shabbat shalom, which means Sabbath peace. But it's not just somehow tranquility, and it's not just a ceasefire. It has to do with this wholeness, welfare, and even prosperity. Wholeness, wellness, and even prosperity. We've been talking in the last 3 weeks about the life of Joseph. And there's one point where his brothers come to where he is, and he comes out, he comes home to meet them. And we read this last week, but I'm going to read it again. It says this, when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand to the house, into the house. They bowed down before him to the earth. Then he asked about their well-being. There it is, shalom. And said, is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive? Again, shalom. Is he well? It's not just, is he peaceful? How is your well-being, and how is the well-being of your father? In the New Testament, although the word wouldn't be shalom in Greek, but in the New Testament, there's a scripture in 3 John 2 that says, I pray that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And that word prospering, it doesn't mean hope you get another $5. It's not tied specifically to any kind of material increase. It has to do with your journey, that your journey would prosper. Fare thee well wherever thee fare. I pray that you would. It has to do with a prosperous journey. Paul will talk about this in Romans chapter 1, verse 10. He says this, by some means that may, and he wants to come to the church in Rome, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. And it's the same phrase, it's the same original language from 3 John, prosper and be in health, that God would make a way for me to find, in his will, for me to come to you, this prosperous journey. So when we think about shalom, we're thinking about well-being, we're thinking about health, we're thinking about faring well. It includes peace. And then the other thing, and just before we get to 2 Samuel, it has to do with integrity, or it has to do with wholeness. I remember being in a class. I went down to the States and did a week of schooling for 4 years in a row. And when I was there, the man, the preacher person who was teaching, his name was Jack Hayford. And Pastor Jack was talking, and he said when he was a little boy, his mom used to send him to the butcher shop years ago to get some meat. And he said when the butcher would take out the ham or the bologna, whatever it is, and it was this whole unit, he said, as soon as he sliced off a piece of meat, he said that unit, it no longer had integrity. Integrity has to do with wholeness. And when we talk about peace, when we talk about shalom, Advent peace, shalom, we're talking about well-being, wholeness, completeness, integrity, prosperity on our journey. I read a Jewish rabbi, he said this, when Jews say Shabbat shalom to family and friends after a draining work week, we mean far more than have a peaceful and restful day. What we are really saying is this, may you be restored to wholeness on the blessed Sabbath. May you be restored to wholeness. So when they say shalom, may you be restored to wholeness. The verse that we're going to look at now on this Advent Sunday of peace, it's just one verse, but it's a very, very difficult verse. At least it's difficult in the life of King David. I'm ready to retire. And the verse isn't very Christmassy. It's in the life of King David, and he's going to ask a three-part question. And it's a very dark time in his life. The kings were supposed to go out to war, and he didn't. He stayed back at the palace. He saw a beautiful woman. He took her to, she was the wife of another man. He took her to his bedroom. She became pregnant. And he tries to cover it up, and he discovers, if he didn't know already, that sin can't be covered up. It needs to be forgiven. We don't just cover sin. It needs to be forgiven. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 7, we start. Pardon me, 1 through 7. 2 Samuel 11, 1 says this, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when the kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. So when the kings went out, he didn't. He staffed it out. Verse 2, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. And David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, is this not Bathsheba? And does not anybody else think that's just crazy? Their name is Bathsheba. Like, really, you know, it wasn't Shower Sheba. It wasn't, you know, she's bathing and her name is Bath. Well, of course she's bathing. It's Bathsheba. The daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him and lay with her. For she was cleansed from her impurity, she returned to her house. Verse 5 says, and the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, I'm with child. She's saying, I'm with your child. David sent to Joab, the one he had sent out, leader of the army, said, send me Uriah the Hittite, her husband. So Joab sent Uriah to David. Verse 7, and here's the verse that shalom shows up three times, and you don't find it in the English translation. When Uriah had come to him, David asked how Joab was doing, how the people were doing, and how the war prospered. It's this last verse I want to focus on. It's not obvious that shalom shows up here. And I think the translators were right to help us understand what was going on. David asked about the shalom of Joab. He asked about the shalom of the people, and he asked about the shalom of war. New Living Translation will say, when Uriah arrived, David asked him how Joab and the army were getting along and how the war was progressing. NIV will say, when Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. New American Standard says, when Uriah came to him, David asked concerning the welfare of Joab and the people and the state of the war. He asked about the shalom of the leader, the shalom of the people, and the shalom of the war. And under these very different circumstances, I would like to ask you these three questions. How are you doing? How are your people doing? And how goes the battle? How are you doing? How is your well-being? Just like Joseph asked about his father, is he well? The shalom of my father, he asked about his brothers, is it well with you? And I like this. Before David asked about the big picture, what's going on with the war? What's going on with the people? He took time to say, how is Joab? Tell me of the shalom of Joab, one person. And I feel like the Lord wants to speak to you individually today and would ask you that question. How are you? See, I would like to ask you that. I would like to care. And I wish it wasn't in a setting like this. I wish we were able to be sitting together over a coffee, maybe at a Nanaimo bar, and as we sit and I could look into your eyes and you could see that you have my full attention and say, how are you? Because I really want to know. And I believe this morning, what I felt like was from the Lord, is God wants to do that, ask that very question. See, it's not so key that I ask you, how are you? But can you imagine God caring enough to say, how are you? To ask about your shalom, your well-being, and you having the time. We're going to come to this at the very end of the service. You're going to have the time to tell him. To tell him the things that are going well. Because certainly there's got to be something. There's got to be some things that are going well in our lives. And we can express thanks to him. We've always got lots to be thankful for. But we can tell him the things that aren't going so well. Things that aren't so hot. If shalom has to do with well-being, I'm thinking there are things in our lives, very possibly in every one of our lives, those watching online, those here in the room, where not everything is going so well. We live in a broken world, and we're not immune from the shattering and the breaking that happens by just living on the planet. There are areas in our lives that wear away. There's strength that wears away. There's peace that wears away. It's. I think the picture is like water running over rock. It's only a matter of time. As hard as that rock is, as solid as that is, water just continues to run, and it erodes over time. And I think there are things that we face in life that are like that, that it erodes our strength, that it erodes our peace. In my garage, and we can't find it, we've had all kinds of people to my house put on a new roof and had the roofers come back and had a guy take off all the siding in the front of the house. We cannot find it anywhere. There is a leak in my garage that drips down into the very same spot in my garage floor. And there is a hole in the floor on the concrete from this constant drip. And it's sometimes it rains and it doesn't happen. Sometimes how the rain hits it happens, and I don't know. But all I know is this: over time things are eroded. And I think sometimes life's like that. There is a constant something that erodes our shalom. And I'm believing and trusting and praying that God is going to be able to ask you, how are you? You're going to be able to tell him, and he is going to be able to restore to you health. Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But loved ones, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. David asked, how's Joab? And then he asked this question, how are the people? And I think the Lord would ask us, and I'll just be his microphone at this moment to say, how are your people? How are the people in your life? How are they? Because it's not okay if we're just okay and they aren't. God cares. How are the people around you? We have no idea what people are facing. Some people have no idea what's going on in their lives, what phone call they have received that day. So many things we face in life. We have no idea what a day will hold. People that we go to work with or go to school with in our communities, sometimes even our families. How are the people? We won't know unless we ask the question, how are you? And I believe that God will open that door for them to be able to say, oh, I'm not faring so well. And you can bring peace and wholeness and strength and joy to others by listening to them, by hearing God speak and about speaking his word. And I know. It's one of the most frustrating things, I think, for me is the how are you. Because so often we don't mean it. We care and we're caring people, but how are you means good morning. Right? When I walk up to the cashier and say, how are you? I'm not always looking to really hear how you are. And if they start to say, it's like, oh man, I was, and sometimes there are people like that. All you do is say, hey, how are you? And you're expecting, fine, how are you? And but they will say, this is how I am. It was like, I didn't mean to ask the depth of that. I meant to say, it's nice to see you. And it's not cruel and it's not, but somehow we need to find ways to be able to look at people and say, how are you? How are the people around us? How are you really? Brian Ingbers calls me every week and says, how are you? I'm just calling to see, how are you? How are you? Just that question. It's not, hey, how are you doing? You know, I'll see him on a Sunday or see him wherever. Hey, how are you? Good, good, how are you? But I will get the phone call that says, I'm calling to see, how are you? How are you doing? And I wonder if we could be that intentional with the people in our world to be able to say, how are you? How is your shalom? Now, don't say, how is your shalom? Because they'll just think you're weird. But instead of talking about God's touch, we can be God's touch. And the only way you're going to know how they are is by really asking. How's Joab? How's the people? And then he said this, how is the shalom of war? And if shalom of war only means peace, it just doesn't make sense. But it means this, how is the war progressing? And he was expecting him to have a battle report because he had been in the battle. How is the war prospering? And I think we need to be able to answer that as the Lord would ask us, how's the war? Because we are in a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. God has entrusted us with armor from Ephesians 6, and he's entrusted us with weapons from 1 Corinthians 10. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. He has invested and entrusted us in armor and weapons, not just for show, but that we would be engaged in battle. And we need to be those who have a battle report because we are battle ready. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, absolutely, but we do fight against principalities and powers, rulers of spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to be a people of prayer. We battle in prayer and we battle in worship. I think about the scriptures that talk about thou art enthroned on the praises of Israel. God, in the midst of our worship, God is enthroned. And we're trusting and praying his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we pray and we worship and we stand on God's word and we must be engaged in the battle. And so when God says to us, when others say, how's the battle? It's a spiritual battle. We're able to give a battle report. This is what I'm praying about. This is what I'm standing on God's word about. That this is where I am engaged and I'm able to say, you know, I wasn't a king just in a palace when we were supposed to go to war. I wasn't just sitting at home watching Netflix. I was praying. I mean, you can't watch a movie. But things can get out of balance. And we need to be able to have a battle report ready to say, how goes the battle? Where is the kingdom advancing? I am engaged and I am praying and I'm standing on God's word and we're seeing things being driven back. We're seeing the advancement of the kingdom, the shalom of the war. How are things progressing? And are there areas where we're losing ground? Okay, let's shore that up in prayer. Let me close with this. God cares about you. He cares about the people around you, and he cares that the kingdom is advancing. Number one, would you bring your cares to him? Because he cares about you. He cares about your shalom. He cares about your well-being, your welfare, how your life is, how you are progressing and journeying through life. God cares. And he wants to restore your shalom this Advent Sunday. In a moment, we're going to pray about that. And then secondly, would you care about the people around you enough to ask, how are you? Because God not only cares for you, loved ones, God cares through you. He cares for you and he cares through you. You get to be an extension of God's care to people, the people in your world. And then thirdly, know how the battle is going by giving your attention to prospering his kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you through prayer. Let's go ahead and pray now. Team, I'm going to invite you to come and join me. Just before we pray, I'm going to just declare the scripture. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Listen to this, the Prince of Peace. It means this, it literally says the Prince of Shalom. God, we come to you this morning. When John the Baptist had been born, his dad prayed that you would guide us, guide our feet in the way of peace. So God, I pray for each one of us that you would guide our feet, guide our path in the way of peace. God, for each person here in this room, for those watching online, for those watching online, not live and are just catching up with this, God, you know the times, they're in your hands. And so God, I pray for each person that you would restore peace to our brokenness. That wherever this life has somehow sliced things off of us, wherever life has eroded our well-being, our spirit, soul, and body, God, by your miraculous touch, would you restore shalom? Would you restore peace? God, this has to be a spiritual moment. It has to be by your spirit. It's not by might nor by power. It's by your spirit that you restore peace. Shalom, well-being, welfare, that our journey would prosper. And God, I said it's not okay that we're okay and others aren't. God, help us not to just be focused on ourselves, but especially in this Christmas season, even as Pearl talked about in communion, people around us, we don't know what they're facing. God, help us to ask, help us to listen, and help us to bring peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for we are the children of God. And God, I pray you would help us all to engage in the prosperity of the kingdom, the advancement of your plans, of your purposes, teaching us to pray, may your kingdom come and your will be done. And may we be those who are active participants in the welfare of the battle, because we're people of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last scripture for us this morning. In the book of Samuel, the prophet prayed this. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity. And I think of those, now we're asking God just to prosper our journey, who lives, not just in this moment, but lives on this path of well-being. It says this, say these three things. Peace be to you. Peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. And I would say it to you and I would pray it over you. Peace be to you. Peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.